I mentioned yesterday, or last week rather, that I would, Lord willing, probably be taking a little break from Luke for at least a Sunday, and I felt like I ought to preach this message that the Lord led me to, and I was reading something else as a week or two back, and I thought, I just need to take the time to preach on this. And actually, some of the outline was not original with me, but I took some of these thoughts and then made them my own and brought together today the message that I'd like you to have today, and about what the Word of God does. And so, if you would open your Bibles to Psalm 119, verse number 9, Psalm 119, the large Psalm in the Old Testament, Psalm 119, verse 9. As you find your place there in Psalm 119, I did hear this story about this pastor that he had a habit of publicly asking kids in the service. He'd just holler out to them, holler his name, her name, whatever, and just ask them things, and they would respond back and forth. That was just something he did. We asked this one boy one time, he said, "Well, Timmy, did you pray before you came to church today?" Because he'd been on a theme about praying before you come and you're ready for it when you get here. And he said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Good." He said, "What'd you pray?" And he said, "Well, I prayed that you'd preach a short sermon." And he said, "Well, okay, I get it. That's fine. I don't mind. I'm glad you're praying." He said, "So is that what you came up with?" And you also, "Oh, no. And he said, "No, you also said you're supposed to learn and copy and follow mom and dad." And so every Sunday morning when mom comes in, she always says, "Lord, help him keep it short." So I was just doing what mom does. So we're going to try to keep it short for you today. Psalm 119, verse number 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." God's word cleanses. In the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, there was a piece of furniture outside there that was the brass laver. It was this large, upright brass bowl filled with water, and it rested on a pedestal. And so the priest would come through, and he would wash his hands after the duties that he had had with the sacrifices and what. And so this priest would stop, wash, get him clean. Well, that only cleans the outside. If you had a mom that tried to keep you on the straight and narrow, I suppose, she'd holler oftentimes, "Time for supper, go get cleaned up, go wash your hands, go do this, do that, get cleaned up, ready for supper." And so you had a demand to clean the outside. And we all know what that's like. But this verse that tells us about cleansing your ways are not on the outside where man can see. That's something, but that's not the most important. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? Where shall he cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." And so the Bible says that the Word of God is like that brass laver back in the Old Testament that was used to wash hands on the outside, or your mom tell you clean up for supper, but in a more spiritual and a more needful way to clean up on the inside. In 1 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit." And so we understand that God tells us we're supposed to clean up. And so the Word of God answers the question, "Wherewithal?" and says, "By taking heed to the word according to thy word." And so we look at this topical message today about the Word of God and the cleaning aspect that it has in our lives. I've heard a story for years. I don't know if it's true, but it certainly teaches a lesson. An old man had told a young fella to go down to the lake at the bottom of this little hill, and he had a basket that was tightly weaved together, and he says, "Get this basket full of water and bring it up here and pour it out in the bucket that I've got up the top of this little grade." And he brought that bucket, or that basket rather, of water, and when he got up to the top, he tried to pour it out, but there wasn't anything in it anymore. The water had seeped out through the weaving of that basket. And the older fellow told the young man, "Go back and do it again." And he went back and tried to run faster this time and got up there, but still there was nothing to pour out. The old man told him to do it a couple more times, and finally the young guy says, "That's enough. It's not doing any good." And the man said, "It is doing good." He said, "Let me see your basket." And so he handed him the basket, and he looked at it, and he said, "The basket was muddy and dirty when I gave it to you. But now, after all that water coming across it, it's washed all that out. So it did do some good." And I think about this. when we let the water of the washing, the word that wash over us, and it helps us in our Christian life as we let it tell us and show us and guide us what we're supposed to do. And so as we look at this morning, I trust that everybody will be blessed by it, because here's what I'm finding. I'm finding Christian after Christian after Christian that although they do know Christ, their life is in such turmoil. They're overcome with anxiety and the depression that they have, and the thoughts that they live under is like a large cloud that they just can't seem to get out from under. And I think the Word of God will give us some help as we look into it today. So I want to give you these four things. Number one, what does the Word of God do? Number one, it cleanses us from wrong thoughts. In Psalm 1, verse number 2, you can turn there if you like. It's just a little bit back, but I'll read it to you. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. This is talking about that person that is not sitting in the seat of the scornful or standing in the way of the sinners. And so this person, though, instead of those things, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. There is a way that you can have your thoughts trained to do the right thing, and that is to meditate day and night, thinking about the Word of God, getting in the Word of God. As one person put it like this, it's the battlefield of the mind, and our mind wreaks havoc on us many, many times. Success is lost or had in the mind. And we're supposed to be renewing our mind, the Bible says, by the Word of God. And it can cleanse us from these wrong thoughts. I read a story about Gladys Staines. Her and her husband were missionaries from Australia to India. In 1999, her husband and two boys were at a Christian gathering, a camp of some sorts. And after the camp, they camped out in their station wagon before they would go back home. Sometime during the night, there was some upheaval, and there was a group that attacked the car, a mob that attacked it, and eventually set it on fire. The man, Graham, and his two sons, all three died. It was during that time that Gladys just tried to live in the Word of God, losing so much that was valuable to her. A few days after the passing of her husband and her two little sons, she said this, I quote, "I have one great desire, that each citizen of this country establish a personal relationship with Jesus. I have forgiven the killers and have no bitterness." I thought as I read that story, how do you do that? How can you do that? And it can only come to one conclusion. It's by living in the Word of God and giving those things to God, because he says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." And we understand that the way to have that peace and the way to be released from those wrong thoughts, because the wrong thoughts are going to come more often than the good thoughts if you're not careful. And the way to do that is by having your delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth thou meditate day and night. And so what does the Word of God do? It cleanses us from wrong thoughts. But not only that, number two, it can tame our fearful thoughts. In Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8, the Bible says this. Again, turn if you like, but it says this. "This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." It can tame those fearful thoughts. And the Word of God goes on to say at the end of that passage there, verse number 8, and it says, "Then thou shalt have good success." I meet so many folks who are overcome by fearful thoughts that are just crippling them. The Bible tells us to trust in Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, the Bible says in Proverbs, and we are supposed to trust in Him. But here's the truth. Our fear will keep us from trusting Him if we're not careful. But it is His Word, as we get into it and let it get into us, that keeps us trusting Him, because it reminds us it is that living Word of God that gets in us if we'll allow it to. And it changes not only our wrong thoughts, but then also our fearful thoughts. Corrie ten Boom, a name very well known, gone on to heaven now, but had spent time in concentration camp. In Ravensbrück, she had told about in that concentration camp that her and her sister was at, they had a small Bible. They smuggled it in, of course, and they would read it every chance they get. There wasn't very much of an opportunity because of the guards, but they not only read it, but they tried to memorize as much as they could because they knew if it was ever found, it would at least be confiscated, if not them killed. And so she said, we would just meditate on those words. But you have to listen to what she said. As I was meditating on Scripture, it did not remove the danger. It did nothing about the outside danger that was present in her life. But she said, I quote, the camp was horrific, but God's word changed what was happening inside. So I think that we are waiting for our circumstances to all get changed, and we're waiting for things to all level out. We're waiting things to smooth out. And then whenever that happens, then we will rest. But my friend, there's not coming any leveling out oftentimes. There may not be coming any smooth sailing. But as Corrie ten Boom said, the Word of God, it did not settle the outside issues. It didn't do anything to reduce the horrific the horrific situation that I was in. But what God's Word did was it changed what was happening on the inside. And so God's Word can change and tame these fearful thoughts that plague so many Christians, and you just can't seem to get out from underneath them. My friend, I believe our answer is laying in your lap, and it's the Word of God, but we must get into it. I'm entering into a different era of my life. You know, my father went to heaven here a few months ago, and my wife's dad is in a transitional time in his life as well, and many of you have already gone through this season. But there was a time when I lived in town, and I was just a few miles from my father-in-law, a few miles from my dad. And so there was hardly anything, no job that I ever went to did I ever have need of a tool that either my father-in-law or my dad didn't have. And so the response or the attitude of both of them was, well, whatever you want, whatever you need, just come and get it. And so it would be so silly for me to come up against a project and me need some tool, and all I had to do was just get in my car, drive a few short minutes, and get it from Delbert's house or from my dad's house. And you may know where I'm going on this. You're holding the tool in your lap. And whatever struggle you're going through, the book of Psalms is so rich and it's so ready to help you. And sometimes we as Christians, we will just sit and soak ourselves in the terror feelings that we're having, the despondency feelings that we're having. We'll just sit and worry and have fearful thoughts. And the tool that God has given you is right there at your disposal. As silly as it would have been for me to say, I wish I had a tool to do this, when the tool I needed was just right at my father-in-law's. All I had to do was go get it. And when God says His tool, His Word of God that He's given us is here, all I have to do is get in it. Amen. It can tame those fearful thoughts. I give you this third one. It can cleanse us from wrong words. I got to preach to a group of preachers and some other workers yesterday at a conference I asked to speak at. And I told them something that was a great day when I learned this, and I'll give you the great lesson as well. But I told these men yesterday, I said, it was a great day when I learned that everything that comes to my mind doesn't have to come out my mouth. How many of you wish your spouse would learn that? Yeah. There's lots of things that come into our mind that we just need to leave there and confess to the God and say, Lord, forgive me, and move right along. James is a very interesting Bible book that God gives us in times just like what I'm describing. In James 1, verse number 22, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. If any man seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, his religion's vain. So that person that says, well, you might as well say it, ain't wrong answer. God talks about us bridling that tongue. We use the phrase biting your tongue. Sometimes people think, man, I've been biting it so much it's pulverized from all the biting I've been doing on it. Well, keep on biting, I guess. But God uses James as an expert on this tongue. And He says in James chapter 3, verse number 11, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? That tongue of ours, God's word can tame it so that we can make the utterings that come out of us pleasing before the Lord. David Wilkerson, who was the book and then later movie about the cross and the switchblade, led a guy, Nicky Cruz, a young guy, to the Lord. Very rough life he had lived. But after he got saved, he said, verses like Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 29, where it says, "Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth." Verses like James 1, 19, "Be swift to hear, slow to speak." Words like that from the Word of God so changed him, and it reshaped how he spoke. He said, instead of me intimidating and wounding and blaspheming people, he says, now with the Lord's help, I was speaking with gentleness and humility and grace. Why would God be more partial to that believer than you or me? He wouldn't be. He'll help each of us. But it's His Word. It cleanses us. It helps us from these wrong words. And I give you this fourth one. Not only does it cleanse us from those wrong words, but it also cleanses us from wrong actions. In John chapter 15, verse 3, it says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." It's not just that your thoughts that get cleaned up, but it's also the work that we do and the actions that we do. Another missionary I read about, he had a really rough spot in the late 1800s, John Patton. He was Presbyterian and he was ministering on a foreign field, and he got himself in such a spot that he really didn't know if his life was worth living. He's contemplating the worst. And he's, of course, served there as a missionary, but he remembered his dad in his youth had given him a Bible. And he got that very Bible that his dad had given him and he brought overseas with him. And he started delving into that Bible, the same Bible that he taught from, but it's just something special about reading that one. And so he continued to read and let the Word of God minister to him. And then these thoughts that he'd had of harming himself and ending things subsided. And he said it was Scripture that gave him hope and purpose. Two of the things we're looking for today, hope and purpose. But all the places we're looking for it in can't provide it. We're looking for it in relationships, and relationships are just another person who has frailties just like you do. We're looking at it through success, and success has a way sometimes of slipping away from us. But I think John Patton was right. There was the Scripture that gave hope and purpose. You see, the Word of God helps this person over here. This person over here who thinks they have it all together and they're so proud of how they've been, and they think they're so much God's gift to humanity. And they read in the Scriptures, and God says that our righteousness, even the best that we can do, is filthy rags. Meaning there's nothing in you or in me that needs to be touted about as something to brag about. It speaks and ministers to that person. But then it also speaks and ministers to this person over here who can't even, they don't look down on anybody because they can't even pick their head up enough to look eye to eye to anybody. They just think, I'm not even worthy of anybody's time. But they lift up their eyes enough to look in the Word of God, and God's Word says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that God has a purpose for every single one of us, and that God's desire is for us to follow Him, come to Him, be saved. And all of a sudden, this person that doesn't think they're worth anything realizes through the help of Scripture and through the words of Scripture that God made them specifically for some purposes in life. And you can see how the Word of God helps our thoughts, yes, but it helps our actions as well. And we see the Word of God working in every single one of these areas of our lives. And the reason it does is because this book is a living book. The street preacher who a lot of times will use some kind of interesting antics to get people to listen to him, and I applaud them. He would take his Bible and he would lay it there on the curb beside of where he was preaching, and he would just try to get a crowd however he could, and he would lay it there and he would say, "It's alive," and he would scream it out as people were further away, "It's alive." And then anytime somebody would come and say, "What are you talking about?" and he'd pick up his Bible and he says, "It's alive. It's the living Word of God." And then try, if he could, to preach the gospel message to tell people to look to Christ. It is alive. It's the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. So the Word of God, this Bible, will establish our thought process and our actions in everything. Psalm 119 verse 11 says this, just a couple verses past our text verse, says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Now, many folks will say, I know people who know tons of verses, yet their life is a wreck and a ruin, and they're not living for God at all. Sometimes there's a big difference between hiding God's word in your head and hiding it in your heart. I can remember lots of things if I choose to, but it doesn't mean they affected me. God's word says, I've hid his word in my heart. And that's where we need to get it down in there, into us. D.L. Moody, who's of the famed evangelist of yesteryear, said, it was said about him, he had in his Bible, that this book will keep you from sin written in the front, or sin will keep you from this book. And so it's so true today that, as simplistic as it sounds, this Word of God is what you and I need for the battlefield of our mind and then the show of our actions, that we might live in a way pleasing to Him. When Satan tried to tempt Jesus, come and says, Jesus, if you're His, why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? How did He answer him every time? It is written, the Word of God. So this morning, if you're one of those Christians that you found yourself just overcome by thoughts of doubts and fears and uncertainties, my friend, I'm challenging you to get in heavy into the Word of God. The Psalms are just a wonderful place for you to dwell in and let it and relish all that's in there, but get in the Word of God. And then maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I'm so overwhelmed by guilt and by uncertainty that I don't even know if I'm going to heaven. The Word of God gives you that answer as well. God gives the specific path for you to travel. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, meaning that He wants everybody to look to Jesus Christ for full forgiveness of sin. So if you're here this morning, not sure that you're on your way to heaven, my friend, your need is not another church to go to, not another program to join, not another friend to help, and not another good deed to do. What your need is, look to Jesus Christ. You say, how do you know, Pastor? From the Word of God. And for those of us who maybe are living too much for ourselves and living too much for what we want to do, then the answer also is in the Word of God, when it says that Jesus came to be a minister and we're supposed to follow in His steps and be serving other people. As this morning early praying, talking to the Lord, walking and thinking about some things and overwhelming, then you have to remind yourself of what the Word of God says. I started reminding myself of what Scripture says about God being all-powerful, reminding myself of the truths of Scripture that God is all-knowing. And as the Word of God ministers to us in the times that we are overwhelmed, no, it's a shame that we don't go to God's Word more than we do. And I'm challenging you today to be that one that would say, Lord, I'm going to get into Your Word this week as we launch into it. Your daily dose of the Word of God is what you need. But as oftentimes when I had my parents and my in-laws not far from me with every tool that I would ever need, there's a few times when I tried to do a job without wanting to drive over to his house to get what I really need, and I tried to muddle through with a substandard tool when I knew the real thing was just a little ways away. How foolish of me. And my friend, I believe that's the way many Christians are living their lives today. The Word of God, the comfort of the Scriptures, the comfort of the Psalms, where it tells us He's our high tower, He's our buckler, He's our shield, He's our guide, He is our deliverer. Yet we just don't get into the Word. And we muddle through life with substandard helps trying to just get by when we have all the help of heaven right there. May we be in the book today, tomorrow, this week, and may the book be in us. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I ask you, dear Lord, to make each one of us those that are seeking you in your word. Lord, I pray that we would be those that find the help through Scripture, and we'll certainly thank you for it. Lord, if there's one in this room that's just overcome by all of the issues of this world and all the issues of life that's plaguing them, Lord, give them rest today. Let them look to your word and you. And may we find that help that we desperately need. And my friend, if you're here today and you've been wrestling, you've been plagued, you've been under the difficulties of life and problems and wrong thinking, go to the word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? Cleansing from wrong thoughts and from fearful thoughts and from wrong words and from wrong actions. It's in that book. Are we living by it? Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm the one you were talking about. I'm not sure that I'm even on my way to heaven. I don't know if I'm saved. I want to be. I certainly do know about Christ, but I need him as my Savior. My friend, there's a reason why your life has been miserable, because you're under your condemnation of your sin. Let's come to Jesus. Get forgiven. If you're able to, would you stand together with me, and as the ladies continue to play, Brother Daniel's down here in the front, and I invite anybody who wants to come pray about these matters or some other matter, you come. This altar is open for you. You're welcome to come and spend time in prayer. Maybe you need somebody to pray with you. We'll certainly be glad to facilitate that. Maybe you just want to come pray for yourself. Certainly fine. If you're here today, not sure that you're on your way to heaven, would you come and let Brother Daniel take a Bible and show you how to be sure of it, certain? It's too serious an issue to be waiting and be wondering. Maybe you are saved, but you want to be baptized. We'll do that real soon if that's your desire. We certainly would appreciate you. We advise that. Maybe we're going to tell you about a few that are joining today. I'm thankful for that. But maybe you want to join that crowd. Say, I think God is leading my family, me leading me to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You step out and come. Present yourself for that. As they play one more verse, here is for all of us. If you're a Christian, you're a believer, you know the Lord Jesus, I challenge you right there where you stand, make a little altar right there between you and the Lord. Say, Lord, I need to be in your word more. What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. I need to be in your book. In your book, I need it to be in me. As we tell the Lord these things, may we live this week in accordance to it and get in that book. Strive to do it every day. Our daily bread. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, we're very blessed today. Our church is been so wonderfully blessed by the Lord, and we see that evidenced by God bringing people our direction. And so I know it's a little hard to see, we're all standing, but I don't want you to sit down just to see everybody else. But the Riggs is Brother Randy and Miss Sandra right back there, right there. Yes, very good. I know it's hard, but I'm going to ask them to stand out by Amy and I in the lobby. They are saved and baptized. They're a great blessing to Amy and I. And I got to meet with them the other night specifically about what we're talking about now. But they are saved and baptized, and we love to unite in fellowship with Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And I'm very excited about that. So we would need a motion to receive them into membership. Brother Graham Foran, we'll take you. And makes that motion. Brother David Martin seconds that motion. All in favor, say aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. And then also, about five pews in front of them, Brother Danny Oaks right there, Miss Danny and Miss Janie, they also would like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We're very grateful for them as well. And so we're thankful that God has brought them our way also. Brother Daniel talked to them here in recent days, and that's a joy to our hearts that they would like to join. And so we would just need a motion. They also saved and baptized, know the Lord. Brother Chuck Martin makes that motion. Brother Marty Scrogg seconds that motion. All in favor, say aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. So praise the Lord. And I thank God for what he's doing in our church. I thank him for leading folks to come and be with us. And we've got a lot of work to do before the Lord returns. And I'm thankful for these that God has brought us today. And so with that being said, I'm going to have Brother Daniel come up and pray for us as we conclude. And or maybe we'll just sing another verse. Why don't you sing some as a going home song, one of our songs we sang earlier. And that will be the way we dismiss today. Amy and I will head out in the lobby. And so I'm going to ask these families if you'll meet us back there. And maybe you'll be looking and say, oh, that's who Danny Oaks is. All right. I knew I recognized him. So, but we'll be back there in the back, and hopefully we'll get by and see these. And apart from those, I hope that you'll see somebody else that you haven't talked to yet today. And tell them that it's good to see them and be praying one for another, but hope you'll greet some folks that you don't yet know. It's a little awkward sometimes, but just stick out your hand and say, my name is this. I don't know if I've met you or not. And it would be a great time to get to fellowship. So, Brother Daniel, you come lead us in a going home song.
All right, 586, Glory to His Name, the first song we sang this morning. And think about that as we go. What a wonderful thing about the cross on which our Savior died.
Down at the cross where our Savior died.